Have you ever watched a brand new airplane take off for the first time and thought, that thing has no business being in the air? I'm Vector on Clear Direct, Radio Hangar's technology desk, and on September 27, 2022, something genuinely strange lifted off the runway at Grant County International Airport in Moses Lake, Washington. It was an airplane with no turbines, no pistons, no exhaust, just batteries, a lot of batteries. The airplane was called Alice, built by a company called Eviation Aircraft, and it was the first all-electric commuter airplane to fly. Not a two-seat trainer, not a modified glider with a motor bolted on. A nine-passenger, fixed-wing commuter aircraft powered entirely by lithium-ion battery packs, and the story of how it got airborne, what happened after, and where it stands today tells you more about the real state of electric aviation than any press release ever will. This segment is supported by AviationSoul.com. They make aviation challenge coins that mark the milestones that actually matter. First solo, private pilot, instrument rated, CFI. The whole journey up. Beautifully crafted and built to last. Check them out at AviationSoul.com. So let's break this down. What exactly is Alice? At its core, Alice is a high-wing, fixed-wing commuter airplane designed for short regional routes. Think the kind of flights that today are served by Cessna, Caravans, or Beechcraft King Airs. Hops of 100 to 250 nautical miles island routes. Thin regional connections. The kind of flying where you're burning a lot of Avigas or Jet A per passenger mile because the airplane is small, the route is short, and the engines never really get to cruise efficiently. Eviation's pitch was simple. Replace the turboprop or piston engine with electric motors. Run them off battery packs integrated into the airframe, and suddenly your operating cost per flight hour drops dramatically. No fuel. Dramatically lower maintenance because electric motors have a fraction of the moving parts of a turbine. And zero direct emissions, which matters more every year as airports and municipalities push sustainability mandates. The airplane itself is actually quite elegant. Two Magni 650 electric propulsion units built by Magnax, an electric motor company based in Everett, Washington. Each motor produces roughly 850 shaft horsepower. They're mounted on the rear fuselage in a pusher configuration, which is unusual for a commuter airplane but makes aerodynamic sense when you're trying to keep the wing clean and maximize laminar flow. The airframe is all composite, carbon fiber and advanced materials to keep the weight down, which is critical because here's the thing most people miss about electric airplanes. The batteries are heavy, really heavy. Alice's battery system weighs approximately 8,200 pounds. For context, that's about the same as the entire empty weight of a King Air 350. You're essentially carrying a King Air's worth of batteries inside your airplane before you put a single passenger on board. The total maximum takeoff weight of Alice is around 16,300 pounds, which means roughly half the airplane's weight is batteries. And this is the fundamental engineering constraint that defines everything about electric aviation today. Energy density, jet fuel contains about 43 megajoules per kilogram. The best lithium-ion batteries available today deliver about 0.9 megajoules per kilogram. That's a factor of nearly 50 to 1, so to carry the same energy as a turboprop, you'd need 50 times the weight in batteries. Obviously, that's not feasible, which is why Alice's range is limited to around 250 nautical miles under optimal conditions. Now, 250 miles doesn't sound like much, and it's not compared to a turboprop. But here's what makes Alice interesting from an engineering perspective. You don't need a 1,000-mile range for every mission. There are hundreds of regional routes in the United States alone that are under 200 miles. Cape Air, which operates Cessna 402s between Cape Cod, Nantucket, Martha's Vineyard, and other New England destinations, flies routes that are often under 100 nautical miles. DHL and other cargo carriers operate short feeder routes that are well within Alice's range envelope. And this is where the economics start to look compelling. Eviation has claimed that operating costs for Alice could be 60 to 70% lower than a comparable turboprop on a per flight hour basis. Even if you discount that by half for real world conditions, a 30 to 35% reduction in operating costs on a commuter route is significant. That's the difference between a route being profitable and being subsidized. The first flight in September 2022 was modest by design. 8 minutes in the air, a pattern altitude of 3,500 feet. A max speed of about 160 knots. The airplane climbed, flew the pattern, and landed. But it proved the concept. The motors worked, the battery management system held, the fly-by-wire controls functioned. Alice flew, but here's where the story gets complicated. And this is the part that matters if you're trying to understand electric aviation, honestly, rather than through a marketing lens. After that first flight, things slowed down considerably. The path from first flight to type certification is long for any new airplane. For a new airplane using a propulsion technology that the Federal Aviation Administration, or FAA, has never certified before. It's even longer. Alice is being certified under 14 CFR Part 23, which covers normal category airplanes, but the battery system, the electric motors, the power management architecture, none of these fit neatly into existing certification standards. The FAA has had to develop new special conditions for battery electric propulsion. How do you certify a battery pack for flight? What's the equivalent of a fuel tank failure analysis when your fuel is a lithium-ion cell that can experience thermal runaway? How do you define endurance reserves when battery performance degrades with temperature, age, and discharge rate in ways that are fundamentally different from liquid fuel? These aren't hypothetical questions. They're the actual regulatory engineering challenges that Eviation and the FAA have been working through. And progress has been real but slow. Eviation has conducted ground testing, systems integration work, and additional flight testing. But as of early 2026, ALIS has not yet achieved type certification. The company has publicly targeted certification in the 2027 to 2028 timeframe, but timelines in aviation certification are famously optimistic.
The data tells an interesting story when you compare ALIS to the eVTOL world. Companies like Joby and Archer have gotten enormous attention for their electric vertical takeoff and landing aircraft, but ALIS is in some ways a more conservative and potentially more practical design. It uses a conventional runway. It doesn't need to solve the hover problem, which is enormously power intensive. It flies more like a regular airplane, which means the certification pathway, while still novel, doesn't require the FAA to invent an entirely new category the way powered lift does for eVTOL. And yet ALIS hasn't attracted the same level of investment or public attention. Eviation has raised approximately $600 million over its lifetime, which sounds like a lot until you compare it to the billions that have flowed into eVTOL companies. Part of that is the Silicon Valley preference for moonshot ideas. An electric airplane that takes off from a runway and flies 200 miles just doesn't capture the imagination the way a flying taxi does, even if it might reach paying passengers sooner. There's also the question of who actually wants to buy ALIS. Eviation has announced letters of intent and pre-orders from several operators. Cape Air was an early partner and has expressed interest in replacing its aging Cessna 402 fleet with ALIS. DHL Express signed a letter of intent for 12 aircraft for their short-haul cargo network. Global Crossing Airlines and other carriers have also indicated interest, but letters of intent are not purchase orders, and purchase orders are not deliveries. The aviation industry is full of announced orders that quietly evaporate when the delivery timeline slips or the economics change. Eviation needs to convert interest into firm commitments backed by deposits, and that requires showing customers a certified, production-ready airplane with demonstrated real-world performance numbers. Not projections, not simulations, actual flight data from actual operations.
Let me talk about what's happening on the battery technology side, because this is where the future of ALIS and every other electric airplane will be decided. Lithium-ion battery energy density has been improving at roughly 5-8% per year for the last decade. That's meaningful progress over time, but it's not the exponential leap that some enthusiasts predict. At current improvement rates, batteries in 2032 or 2033 might offer energy densities of 300 to 350 watt-hours per kilogram, compared to roughly 260 today. That would extend ALIS's range to perhaps 350 nautical miles under optimal conditions. But there are next-generation battery technologies in development that could change the equation more dramatically. Solid-state batteries promise higher energy density, faster charging, and reduced fire risk. Companies like QuantumScape and Solid Power are making progress, though primarily for automotive applications. If solid-state batteries reach 500 watt-hours per kilogram, which some researchers believe is achievable within the next decade, ALIS's successor could potentially reach 500 nautical miles of range. That would cover the vast majority of regional airline routes in the United States. There's another factor that doesn't get enough attention: charging infrastructure. A turboprop lands, refuels in 15 minutes, and flies again. ALIS needs high-power charging stations at every airport it serves. Eviation has discussed fast charging capabilities that could replenish the battery in about 30 minutes, but that still means longer turnaround times than a fuel truck provides. For an airline operating multiple daily rotations on a route, those extra minutes add up to one or two fewer flights per day per airplane. That directly impacts revenue. This is actually one of the reasons I find Beta Technologies so interesting as a comparison. Beta has taken the approach of building their own charging network alongside their aircraft development. They recognized early that the airplane and the infrastructure are inseparable problems. Eviation has been more focused on the aircraft itself, which is understandable given limited resources, but eventually the charging question has to be answered. Now, despite all of these challenges, I want to be clear about something. ALIS represents a genuine engineering achievement. Building an all-electric airplane that can carry 9 passengers at regional airline speeds is not trivial. The integration of battery thermal management, electric propulsion, fly-by-wire controls, and conventional aerodynamics into a certifiable airframe is serious engineering work. The Magnix motors that power ALIS are among the most powerful certified electric aviation motors in existence. The battery management system has to monitor thousands of individual cells, balance charge across the pack, manage thermal conditions, and provide the kind of reliability that aviation demands. This is hard, and the potential payoff is real. If battery technology continues to improve, if certification standards mature, and if charging infrastructure gets built, aircraft like ALIS could genuinely transform regional aviation. Imagine a world where a 100-mile commuter flight costs $60 instead of $200 because the operating costs are a fraction of what they are today. Imagine communities that lost regional air service because turboprop routes were uneconomical getting reconnected by electric airplanes that can operate profitably on thin routes. That's not science fiction. That's the math of lower operating costs applied to an underserved market. But I also want to be honest about the timeline. We are probably 7 to 10 years away from seeing electric commuter airplanes in regular scheduled service. The certification, the infrastructure, the battery technology, and the airline economics all have to align. Any one of those can be a bottleneck. Here's what I think ALIS gets right that some other electric aviation programs miss. It's boring in the best possible way. It doesn't try to reinvent how airplanes take off. It doesn't require new air traffic control procedures. It doesn't need vertiports on rooftops. It takes a proven mission profile, regional commuter flying, and electrifies the propulsion system. That's the kind of incremental innovation that aviation has historically adopted successfully. Turboprops replaced piston engines on regional routes. Jets replaced turboprops on longer routes. Each transition was evolutionary, not revolutionary. ALIS fits that pattern. The real question is whether aviation can survive long enough to get ALIS certified and into production. The company has been burning cash for years without revenue. The competitive landscape is intensifying, and the capital markets for aviation startups have tightened considerably since the easy money days of 2021. Aviation needs to keep flying, keep testing, and keep the FAA engaged, all while managing a finite runway of funding, no pun intended. If you want to dig deeper into this, the reporting from Aviation Week, particularly their coverage of aviation's flight test program, is excellent. Bjorn Firm's analysis at Lehum News on electric aircraft economics is some of the best technical writing in this space. And Aviation's own published specifications, while obviously promotional, provide useful baseline data for understanding what ALIS can and can't do. I'm Vector. This has been Cleared Direct on Radio Hangar. You can find us at radiohangar.com. Keep watching the battery density numbers. That's where the real story is being written.